2 weeks ago, we began a series called Jesus Week. And then following that first initial message, we're now following up with two additional messages that are kind of like booster rockets on a Delta IV heavy rocket, shooting up that message. How many of you saw Delta IV heavy take off yesterday? Was that awesome? Oh my gosh. If you missed it, hopefully at least you heard it. Man, we got to go outside and watch it take off. Just the amazing power of that. Well, listen, that rocket is nothing compared to the rocket that we set off a couple of weeks ago with Jesus Week, because Jesus' words are more powerful than all of that energy that is consumed to get that rocket off the ground. I'm telling you, we had a fantastic beginning to our new year, 2019. But what we've been doing is we've been looking in this short series at the words of Jesus as a lens to examine our lives at the beginning of 2019. And Jesus was asked this really good question that as he looked through all of the Old Testament scriptures, and we know there's about 613 different commands that are given to God's people, the Israelites, in the Old Testament. And a scholar asked him and said, hey, what of all of those commandments is the most important? And so in Mark 12, 29 through 31, Jesus replied and said this: the most important one, answered Jesus, is this: hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all of your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor even as you love yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And we talked a couple of weeks ago as we kind of entered into that Jesus Week moment by saying that isn't it remarkable that this commandment is so deeply relational? It's like, Jesus asked, what's the greatest commandment? And you're kind of expecting from God some like rule. You know, some like hardcore rule that he'd like press on you, like, well, don't do this. Or whatever. You know, no, don't do that. Stay away from this for sure. Some rule, right? But Jesus answers with this remarkably relational statement that if you want the greatest commandment, what is really on the heart of God for you and for me is love. It's love. It's deeply relational, but it's also deeply personal. That we're to love our God. And again, a couple weeks ago, we talked about it, being very personal is helpful to me because a lot of times I want to compare my love for God with other people's love. How are they walking? Oh, well, look at them. And we start pointing fingers outward and pointing at other people. Well, you know, they're not doing so well. So, you know, what about me? But Jesus says to love your God. And so we have to take those fingers and quit pointing at other people. God did not call us to be the judge of others. He said, no, judge yourself. Point that finger right here. Love your God. Everybody say, I need to love my God. With all that I am. That's good. And so through this lens of his command, we're asking ourselves, am I all in? Love the Lord with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love all your neighbors as yourself. Am I all in? Do I love him with all of who I am? And listen, this is challenging for us, for every one of us is a broken person. And where we are broken, I'm telling you, it makes it really hard to go all in Well, because we're broken and busted up. In each of those five areas that Jesus mentioned, heart, soul, mind, strength, and relationship, each one of those areas can experience profound brokenness. And that brokenness comes in multiple areas, but I think we could categorize our brokenness by two areas: pain that we've experienced and sin that we've chosen. Brokenness comes from the outside as we experience pain, but also some of that brokenness comes from inside as we choose sin. And it busts us up and breaks us, and it makes us very difficult because of our brokenness to go all in with Him. When we experience pain, our natural instinct is to kind of huddle up within ourselves. We feel like we need to hold something back. I can't go all in because I need to hold something back for myself in reserve. It's kind of a self-protection mode that we go into because we've been hurt by life. We've been hurt by others. And so we want to kind of self-protect. It makes it very difficult to go all in. And when we sin, we don't think we can go all in with Jesus because we imagine that when I've sinned, I've created such an amazing gulf in between God and myself that, like, if I were to go all in and this gulf is so huge because of my sin, I could just try to go all in, but I'm just going to fall right into that Grand Canyon. So why even attempt it? Why try to go all in with God? Because I know how busted up and broken I am. I know the choices I've made. And if I try to go all in, there's no way I would ever actually get to Him. So why even bother? And so we can then succumb to kind of the apathy that would take over our lives and say, why even bother? Pain tells us, don't go all in, hold something back. You have to protect yourself. Sin tells us, don't go all in. You'll never make it anyway. So just give up now. Let me give you a for instance. We're told to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength in our relationships as well. But think about your mind for a moment. When people experience pain in their mind, in their thoughts, you know, many people have been told over and over again throughout a lifetime that they're worthless, that they're unloved. Some have been told they were not wanted. And when that takes root in someone's mind, man, there is a lot of pain associated with that. And when you're believing that, when that lie of the enemy kind of begins to saturate one's mind, saying that you're not enough, I'm telling you, it makes it really hard to go all in with Jesus. Because we feel that, like, man, I've just got to, like, protect myself. If no one else loves me, if no one else is going to really want me or think that I'm worth something, then I've got to, like, protect every ounce of who I am. How can I go all in? Or on the other side with our mind, and don't just think about the pain, but think about some of the sin that goes on in our mind. Because a couple weeks ago, we talked about the fact that our mind is our chooser. Everybody say chooser. It's our chooser. It's where we wrestle with our thoughts, our beliefs, and we make decisions. We make choices right up here. We carry them out with our body, but we make the choice in our mind. And a lot of times we make choices that are out of alignment with God's plan. His revealed word to us that tells us how we're to choose and to choose life and to choose, make decisions that are based on something that are going to lead to health and to wholeness. But a lot of times I'm like, no, I'm going to make choices for my own pleasure. I'm going to make choices for the moment. I'm going to make choices that feel good and appropriate for me right now. So, I mean, just think about it. I mean, like on Friday night when we're making choices to do stuff like, we're going to go party. I can get drunk and sleep with whoever I want to sleep with. That happens on Friday night. Well, when you wake up on Saturday morning, who's ready to go all in with Jesus? Because it's not that God loves us any less, but because of the choices that we've made, this gulf seems immeasurably large. So why would it even make a difference? We're not getting up on Saturday morning saying, oh man, I just can't wait to spend time with Jesus today. Oh, we're caught up with that lie that says, no, you don't have any business spending time with Jesus. Look what you did. Look what you did. Back away from Jesus. He doesn't want any part of you anyway, so just give up. And those are lies that we take onto ourselves, whether it's through pain or whether it's through our own choosing. Those things can make it really, really challenging. Because let's all admit it, we're all broken people. I'm a broken person. I'm your pastor and I'm standing up here and I'm standing in solidarity with the Apostle Paul who said, I am the chief of sinners. Right? Because listen, when we're honest, we know ourselves, we know our junk, we know the choices that we've made, but we also know the pain that we carry. But in the midst of that, Jesus has the audacity to say, go all in. All in. Yeah, I know it's going to be hard. I know that you got pain in your life. I know that you've been told lies about who you are and you believe some of those lies. And I know you've made choices in your life that right now, in this moment, if you were able to go back and unwind some of those choices, you probably would. But you made choices that were not in alignment with God's plan. And they've brought hurt. They brought further pain, not only in your life, but in the lives of other people around you. And Jesus says, I know all that, but even in the midst of your brokenness, I'm urging you onward and saying, come all in with me. But here's the beautiful thing that we're going to focus on for these next few moments. When Jesus says go all in, what he is not saying is you better just like buckle up, buddy, and fix yourself. He's not saying like pick yourself up by your bootstraps and just you figure your life out and you fix yourself. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. He is not saying that. He is saying, go all in your love for me. But guess what? He's not saying to do it all by yourself. He's not saying this is only up to you to figure this all out. So last week, Pastor Sergio brought a message about how when we go all in, no, we're supposed to go all in together. That he's given us brothers and sisters to walk alongside of us because we're not called to just go in all by our lonesome. When you look at what God's word tells us, no, we're to go in, all in, together. It's why God places us in churches where there's a variety and diversity of people with all kinds of strengths and all kinds of weaknesses. We get to help each other, to come alongside of each other. But today we're looking at something even more profound and dramatic than having each other in our lives. God has given us his very Holy Spirit to empower us to go all in. To go all in that he will strengthen us. We've been using three words to talk about how God will help us move from that place of brokenness to a place of wholeness. And the first word that we looked at is that he redeems. He moves us from brokenness to wholeness, that no matter what our brokenness is, doesn't matter how extreme the pain is that we've walked through or how horrific the choices are that we've made, that God will bring redemption. He redeems. He's a redeeming God. Secondly, we talked about this word realign. That God will help us to every area of our life that is kind of is in discord with him. And you kind of think about music that is kind of like when somebody's just banging on a keyboard and it's all discord and there's no harmony there. And that's how we're like living our lives. We're out of alignment. We're in discord with God and his word. But God will work with us because he wants to help us to bring us into harmony with himself. So that our relationship between us and God, there's nothing between us that except just a harmony. That we're in tune with him in every area of our life. And the third word we've used to describe this movement from brokenness to wholeness is this reignition, this reigniting work where we will grow cold towards God and give up, become apathetic because we think we're so far from him that how could he love me? And how could I love him in a way that's even going to make a difference? But God begins to rekindle something in us, to reignite something in us, a new passion for him, taking us from apathy to passion. But I'm so thankful that God does not call us to do these things. Redemption, we don't redeem ourselves. We don't even fully realign ourselves, although we're involved in the process. And God doesn't call us to reignite something without his help in doing so. He has given us his Holy Spirit, and that's what we're focusing on today. Ephesians 3:16 says this. Paul is writing to the church in the city of Ephesus, and he says this. He says, I pray for you. He says, I pray from his glorious, unlimited resource. He's talking about God. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. With inner strength. So now, from our relationships around us, from brothers and sisters in the Lord, what do we get? We get kind of get outer strength, right? I come alongside Beto comes alongside me, and we're like walking the walk together, right? Arm in arm, we're encouraging each other, we're speaking life into each other, we're challenging each other, we're going for it. That's like that outer strength that we bring to each other's lives. That's awesome. But even more than that, Candace, by the Holy Spirit of God, he has given you an inner strength because he loves you so much. Because you know what? You're off in college now. You've left us. Right? I mean, you're like not with every day all your brothers and sisters. You're not with your mom and dad. You are in college. Praise God for his Holy Spirit because he goes with us into our workplaces, into our school places, or even if God calls us around the globe, he goes with us, and he provides something different than our brothers and sisters provide. He provides an inner strength, an inner empowerment. Then, he says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. And I love this. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. This is a work of the Spirit. This is not fix yourself. This isn't like you better do this or else. When Jesus says to go all in with me, he puts us in a family, brothers and sisters to walk alongside of us, bringing help and empowerment from outside, but he gives us his very own spirit within us that will strengthen us from the inside out to help bring wholeness. So let's talk about the Holy Spirit's work in our lives as one who comes within to redeem, realign, and reignite. Let's look at three passages of Scripture quickly and look at what the Bible tells us about the Holy Spirit's work in us to do those very three things. First one is redemption. And in Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 6, first we're going to see our brokenness, but then we're going to see what the Holy Spirit's work does in our lives. Okay? Get ready to like look in the mirror here and look at how deep our brokenness really is. Once we too were foolish and what? Oh, that was our lives. We were busted up and broken. We too were foolish and disobedient. We were deceived. Our minds had been really under the control of the enemy of our soul. We were walking in deception. And because of that, we became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we even hated each other. I mean, even our relationships, you know, it's like you, right here, you almost have like the fullness of what Jesus said we're to go all in with. It's because we were all out. He says to go all in because we were all out. We were all jacked up, body, mind, and spirit, and our, even our relationships were jacked up. But he doesn't stop there. So go to the next slide. But when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us. Can you say, he saved me? Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Are you grateful? It's like, it is not because we earned his salvation. Somehow we went from being bad to being good. And so he's like, all right, now you're in. Mm-mm. No, even in our jacked up estate, even when our minds were deceived and we were walking in darkness, in full-on brokenness, he saved us because of his mercy. Now listen to this next line here. It's kind of italicized there on the screen. But listen to this kind of description of his saving work in our lives. It says he washed away our sins, giving us a new birth. And oftentimes that's what we think of salvation, new birth. He forgave us, taking away all our sin, right, and giving us new birth. So there's that newness of life. Jesus called it being born again. And that is part of what happens when we're saved, when Jesus saves us. But listen, there's an and there. We're born again, yes, in salvation, and we're given new life through the Holy Spirit. New life. You have a new heart for God. All that was busted up and broken about your heart, there's a new life there. Your soul, your spirit person. It's all new. New life. Your mind. All those bad choices that you'd made, all those ways that you had believed the lies of the enemy about who you are. He tries to get up all in the business, deceiving you. We have a new mind through the Holy Spirit. Our body, all the things that we've done that we wish we could go back and choose to have done otherwise, but no, we did those things. There is a newness of life through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and our relationships, even our relationships with others, that God gives us the possibility to walk in newness of relationship, that there would be health and healing, often coming through love and forgiveness, to see relationships birthed anew as well. So we go from pride and hatred to humility and love and walking with our neighbor. He does not just save us in the sense that we go from death to life, but everything becomes new. Everything becomes new. He is the redeeming God, and this comes through the work, it says, of the Holy Spirit. And he finishes this statement by saying he generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. I want you to watch a video. It's just, it's like 1 minute of about a 12 or 13 minute video. We're going to put the rest of the video up on our Facebook page later because you're going to want to watch the whole thing. Now, I know that this video is not going to relate to all of you, but it's going to relate to all of us in some way. It's a video that shows the redemptive work of God among MS-13 gang members. And I want you to watch, and then later on you can watch the whole video. Go ahead.
Dice su palabra, honrando al Padre, al Hijo, y bajo la unción de su Espíritu Santo, dice, entonces Jesús fue llevado...
We are not the typical Christian. We have done a lot of things. Bad things.
A diario se podría decir de que son por docenas que se están saliendo de la fila de las pandillas buscando el camino, el correcto, ¿verdad?, que es los brazos del Señor.
Para nosotros siguen siendo pandilleros.
The hundreds of men you see here enthusiastically praying in prison were once part of the brutal street gang MS-13 in El Salvador. Spearheaded by a burgeoning evangelical movement in the country, they have all converted to Christianity.
Pero sabemos de que nosotros somos hijos de Dios y de que mejor, si podemos ayudarle, vamos a ayudar. ¿Por qué? Porque ya...
I'm telling you, you're going to want to watch the whole video. It is amazing because these guys are getting out of prison and they are staying faithful to the Lord even to death. It's amazing what God is doing. And I wanted to show that because you're probably today not living that lifestyle fully. Now, some of you did. Maybe a few of you are. But no matter where we have been, God's redemptive work is possible in every single one of our situations. There are none that are beyond God's redemptive touch through the empowerment of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he redeems us, and then there is the work of realignment by the empowerment of the Spirit. The redemption work is like it's all him. He's the one who does it all. We just have to say yes to his redeeming work. New heart and a new life. But then there's a realigning work. And in Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul, again, is writing to the church in Ephesus, and he says this, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do. Well, for they're hopelessly confused. Now, when he said, don't live like the Gentiles do, in that era in which he was writing, it's like there was a very clear distinction between the Jews, who were like the faithful ones, and then the Gentiles, who were not God's people. Now, in this era of time, God was doing this miraculous work of bringing Jew and Gentile together, never to be separated again, bringing unity out of diversity. But as he's writing, he's saying, listen, please remember, in your Jewish roots, you came to understand that the Gentiles were walking far away from God. Hopelessly confused, their minds full of darkness. They wander far from the life that God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind Every kind of impurity. Now, I want you to remember here, again, he's describing our brokenness, and we're going to get to the realignment part in just a moment. But Paul is writing this to the church. He's not writing this like in a general like opinion notice to the, you know, the city of Ephesus. No, he's writing to the church in Ephesus. Say, hey, we need to remember, church, that we need to not allow our thinking and our actions to get caught back up with where we used to be, walking in confusion, walking in this lustful seeking of pleasure. Written to the church, but he describes again this life of real brokenness that we can be walking in. But he doesn't stop there. And he says this, but that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. So in other words, we have some activity to do as believers, as his church. We are to say, where have I been walking in old ways? Walking in that confusion and seeking after just a life of pleasure. Where do I need to actively begin to throw those things off so that I can walk in alignment with him? Where do I need realigning in my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength, and in my relationships? God, where do I need alignment, realignment? But keep reading, because again, he doesn't ask us just to do this by ourselves, but he empowers us. He said, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Allow the Holy Spirit to work within you, that as you would go through that process of realignment, wherever my life is in discord with God and his word, God, I want to work in harmony with you. God, I tell lies. I don't want to be a lie teller anymore. I want to be a truth teller. Because when I lie, I know that I'm in discord with you. I need to bring realignment with my truth. I'm going to allow your Spirit by your power to renew, to make new my thoughts, to make new my attitudes. Where I go online, where I should not go online, and it brings a discord in my relationship with you, God. When I look at things that I should not ought to be looking at because of my lustfulness and a desire to seek that instant gratification. God, I repent of that. I want to throw that off, and I want to walk in a newness of life with you where I'm in harmony with you. But God, I'm not going to be able to do that on my own strength. I need your empowerment. But he says, I offer my empowerment to you. I offer my empowerment to you to even do those hard things of throwing off those old ways of life to come into harmony and alignment. Thank God we're not doing this alone, that we have each other and we have the Holy Spirit empowering us. And this last area, to see something reignited where we've grown cold, where we've grown apathetic, feeling like it doesn't matter what I do, I'm never going to measure up. We get to Romans 5:5 and see the Holy Spirit's work. And the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome, and he said this, he said, for we know how dearly God loves us. How do we know this? Because he has given us the Holy Spirit to
Phil. Would you say Phil? He's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. With his love. Where our love has grown cold, where our love is not enough, guess what? His is enough. If you feel that your love is not at the measure where it needs to be walking in that passionate, committed, all in kind of a love for God, guess what? By his Holy Spirit, he'll give you what you need. He will pour it out through his Spirit. He'll give you everything that you need, including this passionate love. And it's because it's his love, we know how passionate his love is. Because in just a moment, we're going to be celebrating communion together, the Eucharist, giving thanks to him because he went to the cross and allowed his blood to be shed and his body to be broken. And you may or may not know this, but that action, that whole season of Jesus going to the cross for you and me is called the Passion. It's why that movie came out a handful of years ago called The Passion of the Christ. Because Jesus is so passionately in love with you and with me. His passionate love for us is what he says, if you let me, by my Holy Spirit, I'm going to allow that type of a passionate love to be reignited in your own heart. When you're ready to give up and you're filled with apathy, he says, I am willing to give you what you need to go all in. I'm going to work redemptively within you to create all things new. I'm going to help you to realign that which is out of order so that you can come into alignment and harmony with me so that we're not separate. And if you're even missing that passionate kind of love, by my Holy Spirit, I'm going to give you all the love that you need, that passionate, passionate love. Aren't you grateful for Jesus and for his gift of the Holy Spirit to empower us to be his people all day.